Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Coffee and Christ. No, there was no like little.
I was trying to think of something, and I couldn't think of the right line.
What if we got like a board that did that?
What are those called?
I can't even remember. But like, what if we sat down and like got a keyboard and we just made noises, and like it was just like, and then like you just hit like one of the keys and it just goes.
You know, you could do that. Well, that would be a little bit more work to get our own voices, but let's see if we could find a sound effects board.
I feel like it'd be so funny if we did our own voices. You know how, like, you know, I'm talking about like Ross Geller doing it in Friends, where he just recorded sounds. That could be like us.
That would be fun.
Like, you're just like, and welcome back to Coffee and Christ, and then you just hit like you going boing oing 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 or something.
Let's see. Sound buttons, large collections of sounds. For free.
Are they customizable?
I don't think they're customizable.
Interesting.
I don't know what some of these are, so viewer discretion is advised. I live with
roaches. About 10 of them. We now close friends. Probably
gonna
turn it off now.
Turn it off. It's gonna start over.
We're done with that.
Wait, no. There's got to be some good ones in here.
I feel like...
It's still going.
I feel like we should...
No, come on.
Let's do it after this.
Oh, come on. There's a Taco Bell. Boing.
It's probably the bell. Yeah. You can do that one.
Can I?
Yeah. Genuine. There you go.
That's so cool. I didn't know you could do this.
Interesting.
There's so many. What's Hog Rada?
I probably won't do it.
Okay, I won't.
Well, we can explore.
They have What the Dog Doing? What the Dog Doing? You know.
Yeah.
They have that one. Can I do it?
Sure. What the dog
doing? That's awesome. This is something that we will explore more. Categories. Keep talking, Jackson. I got things to look at.
Okay. We're glad that y'all have tuned in for another episode of Coffee and Christ.
There's a voice record soundboard. Anyway,
that's all we gotta know. We will put in the work. Wow. Just do like random sounds.
Sorry about that, everyone.
Yeah, we'll just do random sounds.
That next week's gonna be awesome.
We can like do it in the office. Like we should just have, I don't know, someone like scream in the background or something. Like, oh my goodness.
Sorry, it's my dad. I don't have many friends, so it's my dad.
My dad.
All right. Well, tell us, Jackson, what you've been up to, buddy.
Well, my week has been quite uneventful compared to yours.
Oh, mine's not been too eventful either.
Well, you'll have a lot more to talk about because I do think it'd be great if we, you know, share what you've been doing the past couple of weeks or past week at least. So, my week though has been great. It's been super chill. Hunting season's coming up, so I'm getting ready to be in the woods. But besides that, it's really work's been going good. It's not as like crazy where I'm having to run around a lot, so it's kind of nice being able to work on some few more things at the shop and not just like being in the car the whole time. So
oh, I don't know what I did today. Speaking of work,
yeah,
I jumped in the ball pit at Flip Fest. Not a ball pit.
How fun was that?
It was a blast.
I didn't even know they had a ball
anyway,
pit.
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
How's your week going?
It was fine. I just we work at a camp called Flip Fest gymnastics camp.
You might know about it. Who knows?
And
it's worldwide, right?
We were there. Yeah, we were there. The U.S. Olympic team will be there next week.
No way.
The gymnastics team. So anyway, we were there today.
That's
because
crazy.
we're trying to get them some heat in their gym before the USA gymnastics team gets there.
No pressure.
They'll be there Monday. So anyway, like nobody was around. I know the owners don't listen, and Craig doesn't know what a podcast is, so it's okay. No offense to Craig. He's an older guy. So anyway, we were in the gym, and nobody was in there with us. They have cameras. I know they saw me. I don't care. But like, I was like, man, that foam pit looks neat. And then I jumped in.
The rest is history.
I jumped in, and it was very fun. Like, they have like the little ropes that you can like
the ring know, things.
The rings,
yeah.
I played on those.
Yeah,
unsuccessful. Played around in the foam pit. I jumped in twice. I lied. I got back out and jumped back in. It was a fun time.
What about last week?
My week's been good.
What have you been doing?
I don't want to talk about.
I think it's great. I think it's part of what I'm going to talk about tonight.
We do a disaster relief ministry here at the church. So 2 weeks ago, we went to Perry, Florida after the hurricane, Helene. And mean old Helene. That's what Helene. A lot of people called it. So we did that. And then got back Monday, left this past Friday, and went to Cedar. So anyway, had a little technical difficulty, sorry.
We're back.
So we went to Perry, Florida, and delivered some chainsaws and generators and some supplies to there, and then Augusta, Georgia. And then we left Georgia, came home, and then got loaded back up and went to Cedar Key. And we stayed there and worked over the weekend. It was great. It was a lot.
Yeah,
the worst part, I won't say the worst, because I'm happy to work anywhere. And I literally told them I would clean their toilet if that's what they wanted me to do. That was my first mistake, ladies and gentlemen. We cleaned out the meat freezer at a supermarket.
Ooh.
And we were 9 days post-hurricane.
Ooh.
I can't even describe to you the stench.
Ooh.
Like, it was in the maggots.
Ooh.
And what they would do, we had big masks on, respirators on.
Yeah.
And we would go in. The poor man that was in the actual freezer part, he had to come out like every 2 minutes or he was going to throw up.
Man.
So we had their grocery carts. We'd roll it to the door of the freezer. And then he would throw the meat in the grocery cart. And we'd wheel it outside to the street curb and dump it. Like on the corner of the road. And we did that for an hour.
What happens after forth. That?
The big dumpster or the trucks with the claws.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up and take it. But, like, it was so bad.
Oh,
it was... I can't... And then how my girlfriend did it. And my father. That's the big thing that blows my mind. My dad.
That is surprising.
And he was gagging. Like,
oh,
like they threw a bit. It was like a big pork loin.
Yeah.
And the bag was swollen.
Ooh.
Because it was, yeah. So they threw it in there. Well, some of it like splashed on dad. And he just went. And then of course I started laughing. Well, when I laughed, I was taking deep breaths. So then I started gagging. It was, oh my. It was bad.
Oh my goodness, that's rough.
It was bad. So we did that, and we cut some trees, and we had a good weekend. Then the best part was we were all so tired. We worked all day Friday. I didn't leave the office till 5:30. Went home, threw clothes in a bag, and left.
Yeah,
drove 12 hours. So like we were gassed. Like we were done working at like 5, and like. We were sleeping in the church auditorium. Well, I blew my dad's mind because he was like, man, if only we could watch the Tennessee game in here. And I was like, So I found their little sound booth at the church, pulled up my YouTube TV, and we watched. Well, most of us fell asleep before. I fell asleep at 6 p.m.
I was like, a game hadn't even started yet at that point.
I woke up once because dad needed me to turn it down. So he woke me up because it was too loud.
Yeah.
So I went and turned it down. We were watching football on their projector. We watched Vanderbilt beat Alabama. That was awesome.
Yeah.
On the projector in the church, like.
So was the church auditorium. Fine?
The church had power. It was okay.
Really? Cool.
So we hung out and then left 6 a.m. Drove home. And then we went Monday to East Tennessee and delivered some buckets. It was really cool because our church put together... Like our, and I'm not saying any of this to like, I'm not gloating about myself at all. Like I just did the legwork along with 7 other people. The church did all of it.
Yeah.
But like they packaged buckets and all this stuff with like hygiene stuff and light cleaning stuff, just little care buckets.
Yeah.
And I pulled up to the church. I had 390 buckets in the trailer. That's how many we got in there. Nice. We had to pack all the ones from Crossville in there. And I pulled up at the church. And he was like, you're the people with the buckets. And I was like, yes, sir. And he was like smiling, like he was like, yes, because they didn't have any. And like we pulled up and they were loading the buckets out of the trailer onto the trucks and leaving.
Wow.
They were, that's how quick they were going to go, like to take them places. So it was cool. They probably took half of them in pickup trucks and trailers before we even started putting them in the church.
Wow.
So it was cool. But East Tennessee honestly was worse than anything I've ever seen. Literally anything I've ever laid my eyes on.
Wow.
I was like, and I've been like, we've been doing disaster relief for 6 years. And I've been to Mississippi and Texas and Kentucky and Louisiana. And we've seen our fair share. And I thought there was two EF5 tornadoes we went to in Mississippi. And I thought that was the worst thing I'd ever seen. The floods in East Tennessee and North Carolina are worse.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So, yeah, that was what I did the past couple weeks.
Man.
I was home for the first time in 13 days last night. and I was going to do laundry. And you know what? I didn't do nothing. And I got in bed at 8 o'clock. Like, literally, the sun went below the trees. And I was like, all right, time for bed.
Good night, everyone.
And Andrea's like, so, did you get your laundry done? And I was like, unfortunately, no.
I went to bed.
So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. It's been a blast.
Man. And then you get to go on vacation here soon, so you're getting a little relaxing time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know if we're going to do anything for Milton?
I'm going to be gone. I hope that I'm going to try. I bought the Wi-Fi package on the cruise today so I can, my phone would work.
Mm.
And so I could maybe, like, coordinate some things from the cruise.
Right.
So we'll see. Yeah, we have another hurricane. Had another hurricane coming, making landfall tonight. That's worse than Helene.
Mm.
So keep them in your thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. Man. But
anyway, over to you, my friend.
Over to you, my friend.
No. Literally, no.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't keep scoring.
Well, I'm just going to do a quick little recap of what we did. We learned about last week, because this is a two-part episode of the word grace. We learned kind of more, I would say, in the Old Testament last week of the Hebrew word chen and chanun, and that's just you gotta clear your throat, but that's the words that are used as grace and also used a lot of times as favor in the Bible, and so. And I posed a question to you last week about if Paul, excuse me, not Paul, we're going to talk about Paul a little this week, but if Noah was merited the grace or the favor that he received in Genesis 6, I want to reframe my response and say that he wasn't merited, but it was easier for God. So like, you know, you being a business owner, it's easier for you to give a raise to people who are really good at their job.
Right.
But like people who aren't, then you're like, I think you're good at where you're at right now, kind of deal. So I didn't want to reframe that. I don't want you to think that, oh, you know, I think he was merited it. No, I think, you know, after some more thought, I think it just was easier for God to be like, you know what, everybody else is kind of
really, we're thinking bad.
Yeah,
everybody. I agree with you. So I mean, I can't.
Everybody's kind of really bad right now, but this guy's pretty good. So it was just easier for him. So anywho, we're now switching kind of like. Roll a little lanes here. The first, well, at least there's 170 different examples in the Bible of the word grace or favor used. Two-thirds of those deal with human and God interactions, and the other one-third deals with human and human interactions. And so that's what we're going to kind of focus on for this episode about the human and human interaction of grace. And so that kind of translates better into the New Testament too. So that's at least where I have most of my material. And the New Testament is, you know, in a lot of areas is written in Greek. So the Greek translation of the word grace is charis. Dylan, do you know any charises? Any Chrises maybe?
Oh, Chris.
You know, I don't think that's the same, but charis, literal.
My cousin's name is Charis.
Is it Charis?
No.
What is it?
Karyis, maybe?
Interesting.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, it might just be like a southern twang, you know. I'm just like saying it, but it literally means gift. You know, it's most closely associated with the gift of grace. Anytime you see that, but metaphorically, it's like the attitude or the attribute of the one giving the gift is that word charis. And so when it comes to these one-third interactions, like I said, there's so many. We could spend, you know, seasons on just this word grace and tackle every little scenario. So I'm just going to, I just had to choose one. And, you know, what better place to start than when the church is just getting up and going. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, you know, and I won't read it all. I'll kind of just read what I'm wanting to point out. So all these things are happening, verse 44. And all these people who believed were together and had all things in common. And that word there is actually koinonia, which is the Greek word for fellowship. Again, that would have been a great word to study, but it didn't make our list this time, so we might have to, you know, insert that next time. But the thing with koinonia and grace, they're very closely linked together. But verse 45 says, they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having charis, favor, grace with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So, you know, I mean, if you just imagine real quick, you know, there's at least 3,000 people right now. At least. This is, you know, not, that was just who were added to the church after the day of Pentecost, after, you know, Peter gave his lesson. You know, at least 3,000 are there. Probably more. Probably all across the world, because it's Passover, it's, you know, in Jerusalem. There's tons of Jewish Christians there, and accompanied by the people who already live, like, in the surrounding area of Jerusalem, you know. All these, there's a ton of people here. We don't know how much. But to say that all things were in common is just crazy to think about. I mean, I don't think we could say that about a group of 15 people, maybe even less, where all things were in common. And on top of that, they were selling all their possessions. They're acting, you know, I think it's great to use this word, but they're acting crazy. Like, you don't do this. If you are a, you know, generic, regular, everyday citizen of America, you don't do this. You don't just go selling all of your possessions and all of this stuff. It's crazy. And this, you know, is a series of acts that keep, no pun intended, that keep just cycling throughout the whole book. And there's this part in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 33. This is, you know, Luke is, who's writing this, this is his extended version of the book of Luke, and he's trying to make sense of all this. He's like, man, they're selling their possessions, they have everything in common, they're doing so much things for each other, it doesn't make sense. Why are they doing it this way? It says in verse 32, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that anything that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. There it is again, koinonia. But with great power of the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You see, the only rational example or explanation, excuse me, of what Luke is like trying to make sense, you know, trying to describe what's going on, is that great grace was upon them. This is why people were acting so radically and giving everything they had, is because of grace. You know, so in other words, Luke is saying God's grace is not something that he just did for us, you know, but it becomes this power, this presence in their lives, and it motivates them. You can see it. It motivates them and generates this type of action towards each other in ways that are unheard of at this time. Like, these people probably didn't know each other like 3 months ago. Realistically, they might have known of each other, but they probably didn't know each other. But yet, God's grace was messing with them. God's gift to them in Jesus began to motivate them, began to empower them into a whole new way of living with each other, and mainly, in this case, like I said, there's so many different instances. You can run with this human-human interaction with Grace, but in this case is sharing with one another. And so this led me to a great story in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So just a little bit of a backstory. About 15, 20 years goes by, and the church in Jerusalem ends up just expanding. Which, like, huge dispersions in some parts, and you can read it through and throughout the book of Acts. It's really not a long read. And so the hub of operations moves from the city of Jerusalem north to the city called Antioch. And from there, the Jesus movement just continued to spread all over the big cities of the Roman world and the Roman Empire. And the key player of the book of Acts, who's responsible for really starting many of these movements, is, you know, as we know, a guy named Paul. And so Paul is starting all these communities of disciples, and honestly, most of them are not Jewish. You know, they're not ethnically connected to these Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. But something happens in Jerusalem and kind of the region like surrounding it. You know, there's this huge food shortage, huge drought, causes a terrible famine. And so these Jewish Christians in Jerusalem get hit super hard. They're at the hub of it. And there's starvation, poverty, and it's a difficult time for Jerusalem. And so Paul, being the awesome person that he is, he gets this great idea. He's going to make a quick trip to all these non-Jewish Christians that he helped started and help rally them in an act of unity with these Christians in Jerusalem. It's almost like a fundraiser. It's an act of koinonia. It's an act of grace. And you can read about this project. It's great. It's in a lot of Paul's letters. And this one in particular kind of highlights this, like, really blows it up where you can see it a lot better. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or excuse me, chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, I'm not going to read it all, but Paul is going to tell the story about Charis and Koinonia. And so Paul went up to these Christians who lived in Macedonia. He started talking to them, and he's also bringing this back to the church at Corinth. But just to kind of put it in perspective, what he's saying, the Macedonians, you know, verse 2, they have severe test of affliction. They're poor. They're, what does it say, extreme poverty. But yet, their attitude, by all of this, and you can read about more of their persecutions in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you know, they're having a hard time. They're extremely poor, and they're going through persecutions. And Paul's response to this is, their attitude, based on what they've had, is joy, you know. And that's a whole different word and whole different study for a whole nother time. But, you know, remember the purpose is he's going around collecting money from all these people to make a fundraiser to help these Christians in Jerusalem. And so what he does is he's like, you know what, he's trying to avoid them, you know. It says in verse 3 that they being the Macedonians, they gave according to their means. And so these people who are dirt poor, and considering their circumstances, they're probably not in a position to give or be generous with what little they have. And so Paul's going to look over them, but, like, I mean, you can see what they're saying. They're like, no way. They're saying that they gave not only by their means, but beyond their means, on their own accord. And they were begging. Paul's baffled by this. He's like, he has no idea how these people came up with such money. Not only just, they came up with beyond what he could think. It was an act of koinonia. It was an act of grace. Because no one was guilting them. But they pleaded and begged for him, for the favor, for the grace of contributing and taking part in the relief. And so, you know, Paul's like, I don't want to ask you for money. But they're like, no way, why would you leave us out? They wanted to give. And this is such an amazing story because it's told thousands of times throughout all the years, because it's great. This Macedonian church, the people here are going through extreme poverty and terrible affliction. And yet, when someone who was associated with the body of Christ was in need, they gave. They found a way to give. And Paul's baffled by it. He's like, I don't know how to explain this, but he uses the exact same word that Luke describes in Acts 4, verses 32 and 33. He says it's charis. It's grace. What happened to these Christians was grace. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 8, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given to the church of Macedonia. This grace that they've been given, that they've received, was like an energizer, you know, it was like a shot of adrenaline or something that made them able to do this, to do such extreme acts of, hey, they're like, hey, Jerusalem, they're in poverty. We know what that's like, you know. They don't have food. Man, I know what that's like. They're struggling with afflictions. Yeah, we share in that. And so they gave beyond what anyone would expect. And so, you know, what Paul and Luke are trying to get at with just like these two small stories, I mean, that have such a big impact, is that being a disciple of Jesus and accepting this gift of grace through Jesus is not just like a legal transaction. You're not like, all right, blood on the doorpost, I can, the death angel can pass over you because you have the grace, you know. No, Paul's saying that God's sharing his life with us. The generous giving God has bound himself to us permanently in Jesus, and what God is doing is prodding and poking and influencing us to get our eyes off ourselves and onto other people, and then to do something about it. And that's to put it way simply, like extremely simply. And so this is really all I have. This is what I think is part of how God's grace should affect me and my relationship with others, is to prod and poke me to get my eyes off myself and onto others. And this is just one example of grace and in the form of generosity. And these people gave their money, but that's not the only thing you'd be generous with. I think people associate generosity with money every time. You know, no, you can be generous with your time, with your resources. It's not just your money. You know, and I think we could spend, like I said, much longer on this concept of grace and how it affects us in our relationships, but this is what I got to leave you with this week, you know, being this grace of God affected someone enough to where they did things they did not think they were going to be able to do, but yet they did it because God's grace empowered them. That's all I got. Over to you, buddy.
So if you look in Colossians chapter 3, specifically in verse 13, it talks about, and this is the NIV, I like the way it puts this. It says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So it starts out with bear with each other. Well, let's break that apart. Have you ever been, you know, say you're in a big meeting at work, or you're a teacher or whatever, and you're trying to get, you know, the PowerPoint on the screen and technology's not working, and we've all been there. Like, it's embarrassing. And it happens to me, like, if I'm trying to do a PowerPoint at church or in a class, or it's like, okay, I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. People are just staring at you, and you're like, get on with it, yeah. Dummy. Like, it's,
yeah.
And you always hear them say, well, bear with me.
Yeah.
We're having a little technical difficulties.
We had that in this episode.
So, yeah, we had some technical difficulties earlier. Bear with us. You hear that saying all the time. And what does that mean? Number one, the very simple term is somebody's asking for grace.
Yeah.
You know, bear with me here. I'm new to this or whatever. Or if it's your first day on the job. And, you know, I've heard people like this, if you're in line at a fast food restaurant or whatever. And the person behind the counter is like, this is my first day, just bear with me. I've heard that all the time. And what they're asking for is grace. But what does it really mean to bear with each other something? And to me, if you're committed to being a Christian, you've committed yourself, your life, your personality, your everything, you've committed that to Christ, then we have an obligation to bear with one another, not just in situations to where you're new to something or you're blah, 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 blah. One thing that has been new to me this year is just being a business owner. And really, I was a upper management in a leadership position for a lot of years, but I've never had, you know, to deal with, you know, finances and accounts and payroll and all this stuff. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to people, oh, your employees or whatever, bear with me here. We're, you know, one thing that's been frustrating is like trying to get accounts set up at places where people can buy stuff if I'm not around. And it's like, oh, I thought I had all of them. Oh, do we have an account here? No, bear with me. I'm trying to, we're all learning here. What that means is if you're a Christian, you're committing yourself to God, number one, first and foremost. You are a bondservant for Christ. But what a lot of people don't understand is that you are committing yourself to other people. And you're a bondservant of Christ, but you're also a bondservant to everyone else. We're commanded to say, you know, we want to be the least here because we want to be great in heaven. So that means you're willing to let everybody else go in front of you because you want to see their victories. You want to see them succeed before you see yourself succeed. That's a commitment that Christ expects out of us, demands out of us as Christians. And like Jackson was saying, even finding ways to give when you have nothing else. God's saying find something else and give it to somebody else. And so when you're saying bear with one another, you're really taking on a person for everything. And see, we're really good at situational grace, situational understanding. But what God is saying is, no, this needs to become part of your personality to bear with somebody else, all of their mistakes, all of their off times, all the times that they get mad. He's saying commit to that person. I'm not just talking about your spouse or your friends. I'm talking about strangers. Commit yourself to them and bear with them their burdens and forgive them with whatever grievances you have with them. Because listen, we're all doing this for the first time. We're all going through life and every day is a new day. And whether you're a veteran in your field or it's your first day, you're going to come up with stuff where you're like, oh, I did that wrong. And you would hope that the people around you would give you grace. But do we do that? Are we willing to do that according to Colossians 3? Are we willing to forgive any grievances, whatever grievances NIV says, that we may have against one another? And I don't think we do that. And the problem is we don't read the rest of that verse. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that if I don't forgive somebody else or offer grace to somebody else, that I'm not going to make it to heaven? I'm not the judge. But what that's saying is we have to realize we have to go back to our root. You know, there's so many people, you know, that say, I don't forget where you came from. I think we need to hear that a lot because we, you know, whether we've been a Christian 10, 15, 20 years, I've been a Christian since I was in fourth grade, I think. And you kind of get this stigma. And I'm telling you right now, this is what's wrong with the church. I don't care if that hurts your feelings. I don't care if you're offended. I don't care if you don't listen to anything else I say. It's just the truth. And maybe Jackson disagrees. I don't know. But we get on this spiritual high horse and we forget where we came from. A broken person seeking forgiveness. We're undeserving of it. But yet we go to God with everything we have to offer, which is nothing. We go to Christ with everything we have to offer and our hands are empty. We bury ourselves in baptism, but we forget to put to death our old self. And we come back up out of that water, and then in 20 years, we just think we're a spiritual superhero. And we forget about everybody else. He's gonna recognize that. And he's saying here, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Don't forget where you came from. Because you need grace and forgiveness and love every day. And it may not be from a person, but from God. We can't get through it. We wouldn't make it to heaven without grace and forgiveness from God. Because we mess up every day. I mess up every minute of every day. That's how heavy our grace with other people is going to be. And we expect everybody to be 100% all the time. And if they're not, then we're infuriated. Well, guess what? When was the last time you were at 100%? Or I'll even make it really personal. When was the last time I was at 100%? It's been years. I'll just go ahead and tell you. We're not perfect. We're not always on our A game. But guess what? Nobody is. We all have struggles. We all have things that are going on in our life. And we seem to forget that. Because when somebody else who might have something else going on, who might be seeking forgiveness, who might need a little help, whenever they come to us for grace, we're like, no, you made your bed, go lay in it. That's wrong. And I'm guilty of it. My face is hot right now because I know I'm guilty of it. But instead we just say, oh, well, it's okay. And guess what? It wasn't okay. It's not. Somebody may do something to you and you just go, oh, okay. It's not okay. But we have to forgive them. We have to move on. See, we say these things. We say, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. And then we hold on to a grudge for 4 years. That's wrong. We can't act like that. So Colossians is saying, listen, bear with one another. Be a part of somebody's life. No strings attached. And I don't know if we can do that. Be a part of somebody's life. Accept them for who they are. Teach them where they are. And when they mess up, say it's okay. And mean it. Forgive them. Move on. Because we forget where we came from. And we get on this spiritual high horse, and to be honest with you, it disgusts me. Because I'm just as guilty as everybody I'm talking about. And it's sad. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, again, this is NIV, says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Wait a minute. No one? So you mean to tell me that everybody is deserving of God's grace? Absolutely. Absolutely. That was the whole point of Jesus going to the cross. So the people that we think don't deserve grace, the people that we're holding grudges against, they deserve grace just as much as everybody else. Well, they don't deserve it. Let me rephrase that. They need grace more, as much as everybody else. We don't deserve the grace that we get. And that verse goes on to say, verse 15, that no bitter roots grow up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness is a big problem in the church. Because like I said, we say it's okay and we don't forgive. We say that we're willing to bear with each other our burdens and our sins and our mistakes and our flaws. And we go up and hug somebody after they've been brave enough to say that they're flawed and messed up. And then we go out, we get in the car, and we say, man, it's about time they did that. That's not right. And I'm talking about in the church specifically, but outside the church. You know, we handpick and choose who the gospel is for. And we see somebody with, you know, looks like they've been sleeping on the street, and they've got dirty tattoos all over them, and they're nasty, and they're homeless, and they're whatever, and we drive by and just shake our head and go, man, I'm going to pray for that person. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Because we handpick and choose who we want to share the gospel with, who we decide who we think deserves the grace of God. And shame on us. Guys, the whole point of giving grace to other people is we're going back and realizing that, hey, I made a commitment. I made a commitment to God, saying I'm willing to serve other people. I'm willing to put other people before myself, even if I don't get as far, even if I whatever. And it's so sad how far we strayed from that, because the world is just so angry at each other. I mean, and I won't bring politics into it, but this election is disgusting, because it just tears people apart. Guys, at the end of the day, Jesus is king. So who cares?
Amen.
I mean, but yet we're at each other's throat, and we hate each other, and we tear each other apart. And then we go, but I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for the Democrats. You need more prayers. Don't worry about what they're doing. Just figure out if there's a way you can help them. So that my whole talk just like came off so angry. I did not mean for that to come off as angry, but it's really a pet peeve for me. And I think it's because I struggle with it a lot, just to be very transparent and to tell you. But guys, the reality of it is, not forgiving people means we fall short. Means that we're missing the mark of what God intended us to be. I want you to be so committed to other people that it's radical. Like, it's crazy the lengths that you're willing to go for somebody else. The lengths that you're willing to go for a stranger. I'm just going to be honest with you. It should be weird how far you're willing to go. Because when Jesus lived and walked on this earth, it was weird how far he was willing to go for other people. We're Christians. We're Christ-like. We're mimicking that. Show up for people in ways that are unimaginable. And it's okay to be weird, because you know what? It's weird because nobody else is doing it. But do it. Because if we're not willing to forgive, if we're not willing to serve other people and offer them grace, then it's our problem. It's a problem of bitterness that doesn't destroy somebody else. If you're bitter, if you're holding grudges, if you're not willing to offer grace to somebody, it's not hurting them. When I said pray for yourself, I mean it's destroying you if you're not willing to offer grace to somebody else. Guys, it should be radical. It should be crazy how much you love other people. And don't get caught up in the minute details. Okay, if it's not a salvational issue, then move on. And that's just my opinion. That's not gospel. That is my opinion. But if it's not a salvational issue and it doesn't affect whether they go to heaven or you go to heaven, again, it's not worth talking about. Get over it.
Yeah.
And just love people and offer them grace. And remember where you came from. When you were baptized, you made a commitment to God, first of all, and said, I'm willing to follow you no matter what. But you also publicly said, I'm going to be a servant to other people. I'm going to love other people more than anybody else, because that's what Christians do. So, have a great week.
On that note.
That's all I got. So I hope you have a great week. We love you. If you're in Florida, praying for you.
Yep.
And we'll catch you later. I will be out of town next week.
That's right. So we will have a little hiatus.
I will be in the Dominican. Maybe. If my flight gets canceled, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Love you. Jesus loves you.